Well, there's a little bit of a theme running through with what Jamie was sharing, with what Emily was sharing, and with what I'm planning to share. I hope you catch it. It's about faith. It's about believing for the impossible. I've got to do something. And I was planning to look at a prophecy which we'd been given 20-odd years ago, by a guy called Graham Cook. In fact, we're going to be doing this at some time over the next month or so, because there are some amazing things which he prophesied that length of time ago, which are coming about, have already come about, and I believe with the pavilion as well, there will be a greater expression too of what was spoken about. So I want to share on that, or we're going to be sharing on that together to encourage you. But at the prayer meeting on Thursday morning, Andrew just brought a scripture from Isaiah 54, and I felt I needed to... Are we on here yet? I felt I need to just change what I was going to be talking about and have a look at the first few verses of Isaiah 54. And I've headed up the title of the talk, as you can see, I Believe, Help My Unbelief. Of course, that applies wherever we are, whoever we are, whether it's from a salvation point of view. We need to cross over that line to believe. And the Lord sees our hearts. If we're going to enjoy the benefits of of salvation, of the gospel, we need to believe. If we need to receive the Spirit of God, we need to believe. But also for his plans for the future, we need to believe if we're going to see it released. And that's what I want to touch on a little bit this morning. So Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 5. I don't think I've put it on here. I'll find out, won't I? Oh, we've got the first bit. You might have to bring your Bible today or open it. Isaiah 54, verse 1 to 5. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy. One translation says, O Jerusalem. It's a picture of the church, the city of God, the people of God. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Or as another translation puts it, enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense. Trustees, okay? For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Another translation. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. Wow. Hallelujah. Andrew brought an aspect of that, as I say, at the prayer meeting on Thursday, and I just felt I wanted to meditate on that and think it through a little bit more. And in so doing, felt that there's a word here for LifeSpring at this time of preparation. Pete was saying to me earlier on, Pastor Neville, he says, we need to get ready for this building. You know, we're going to have all sorts coming in which we're not used to addressing, this, that, and the other. You know, we need to be equipped in that. And he's absolutely right. This is a time of preparation. And I believe while we're waiting to get hold of the building and while stuff will be happening on the inside of that, here in the church, we need to be getting ready ourselves for all that God wants for us. And I believe this word is like part of that preparation. Because I'm believing for great things, and I'm sure you are too. And I just want us to, well, you've got to weigh it up, of course. All prophecy needs to be weighed. But I want us to receive this from the Lord. So verse 1, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. This verse is all about amazing grace, undeserved favor. It's about fruitfulness and multiplication, which we don't deserve. It's about God's plan and purpose for us, though in the natural, It's unlikely. It's about a miracle God wants to perform and wants us to believe for, that we will be a church that sees many children, many souls, and much growth. Amen. When we first began to embrace the vision that God has brought us to in the last few years or so of fulfilling the Great Commission, of going and making disciples, one of my first reactions was, what an incredible honor, what a privilege that, Lord, you have called us to be part of this work. Of course, I mean, we're just a little bit slow in getting around to it, but every church has that same calling. Every church has that same privilege. But we decided as a church we were going to be more intentional. We were going to try to win, to consolidate, to disciple and send for Jesus. We decided God was calling us to believe for things that we hadn't experienced before. And over recent years, we have seen some success. Not as much as I was hoping for, but more than we had before, praise God. We've seen people saved. We've seen people healed. We've seen restoration, reconciliation. We've seen people being strengthened in faith. And then after 10 years of looking for a building on and off, we've almost got one. But it's not just a little pokey church hall or a little building tucked away off the beaten track somewhere, which I would feel more comfortable with. But it's a massive building on the main thoroughway into Reading Town Centre. Soon everyone will know. They will see the pavilion, Home of Life Spring Church, on the front. And maybe a massive cross with red or white backlighting on the side, proclaiming to all, Jesus died for Reading. Amen. Hallelujah. And I think, Lord, why us? And I don't know. You know, I like to think, though, he's seen something in our hearts. I like to think he's seen something of our faithfulness. He's seen a people which are changing from a comfortable way of living and saying, no, we really want to make a difference. He's entrusting us with a massive responsibility, with a massive vision. And I hope you don't get daunted, but with me you say, amazing grace. What amazing privilege. But he also says, from him who has been given much, much is required. And here in these verses is a picture of either a barren woman, maybe past childbearing age. And of course, in those days, it was such a disgrace, though often no fault of their own. You see, but barrenness is always a curse. Physical barrenness is from the enemy. But so is spiritual barrenness. Fruit should be our default. Jesus is always looking for fruit and expecting fruit. Do you remember in John 15? If you abide in me, you will produce much fruit. How do we bring glory to the Father? John 15, by being fruitful. He is looking for and he's expecting fruit from the whole of his church, including you and me. Hallelujah. There's pictures in the Old Testament and the New Testament of a river that flows from the throne of God. And it talks about, in both occasions, and the trees along the side of the river are producing fruit for 12 months of the year. It's not like the season is August and September to pick some apples, but you can get them in January, you can get them in March, you can get them in April, you can get them in December. He's looking, he's expecting his people to be fruitful. Because as we abide in him, we will be fruitful. And here there's a picture of this barren woman, or maybe a divorced or widowed woman, who she once had a husband but didn't have any children, and now she's desperately sad, and there's no more chance of having any. It's a picture of a church, maybe our church. Maybe we've prayed, maybe we've wept, maybe we've fasted. Maybe we've invited, maybe we've worked hard and done our best, put on the best sell socials we can think of, put on winning Sundays, and there's been little fruit. Maybe as an individual, or as a people, we can feel barren, we can feel embarrassed, we can feel disappointed. But the prophet is saying to Jerusalem, the people of God, sing, rejoice. Oh, there's the fruit. Sing, rejoice, be glad, shout loudly, children are coming. Increase is coming. Even though you've not got pregnant or been in labor yourself, you will have more children than the happily married wife. It's grace. It's supernatural. It's God's blessing. But we need to believe. So if you haven't seen what you're looking for before, you will in the future. But we need to start to believe and to dream again. Life spring. Amen. I feel this is what God wants to say to us. Growth is on his agenda. And the pavilion is part of the answer and the strategy. Graham Cook said, God wants a large church here. And he goes on to say, that means we are all going to have to get busy. Amen. Yes, amen. It's all about enlargement. It's all about thinking bigger. God wants a large church here. And the only places that I know in the world where there are large churches, they're busy churches. Because there's lots of people to look after. There's lots of people to reach out to. There's lots of people to disciple. Hallelujah. And we're training up lots of leaders that they can continue the work. Hallelujah. It's not by might. It's not by strength. It's going to be by his Spirit, but we need to respond. We need to be prepared to train and be trained. We need to be prepared to equip and be equipped. Okay? I'm already planning multiple services. And I'm thinking, we can't just launch multiple services. I need more people to be speaking. I need more people to be leading worship. I need more musicians. I need more meeting hosts. And I'm looking at people. And we're going to be asking people to come forward and to begin to do stuff they haven't done before. We're going to have to get busy. We're going to need more cell leaders. We're going to need more people loving the poor, caring for the sick. Amen? We're going to be busy because this church is going to shine for Jesus in Reading. Hallelujah. So verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. It's time to think bigger, that's what Jamie was saying. It's time to plan bigger. It's time to dream bigger. Beyond what did you say, Jamie? Beyond what anything we thought before is too small. It goes beyond God's plan, God's heart, God's purpose for us. Do not hold back in your thinking and in your dreaming. I believe the Lord would say to us. Here's a scripture, slightly out of context, but I hope you'll be all right with this. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives in the fullness of God. Now, it's talking about God's love. But we can apply God's vision, God's purpose to that too. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. You know, that hymn that we sang probably from 100 or so years ago, full of faith that the nations are going to hear. The nations are going to see. The glory of the Lord is going to come. We need to dream, catch God's dreams. Yeah? Amen. We need to catch God's dreams. But then there's the scripture, more in context if you like, goes on to say from the Message, God can do anything you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request, even in your wildest dreams. If you're believing for 12, believe for 144. If you're believing for a cell, believe for a 12. If you're believing for your husband, believe for your family. Go beyond. Believe for more. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit, deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church, the hope of the world. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Do you know the church is the only people group which is going to go on forever and ever and ever through all millennia, bringing glory to him who saved and redeemed us. Every other organization, people group, institution, ism, religion, going to finish. But the church goes on forever and ever. Yeah, they talk about the church declining. Well, it is over here, I agree. But they talk about the church, there won't be much left of the church. In 2030, Christianity will be gone, according to the Daily Mail, in Britain. They don't know half of what God's got up his sleeve. They are going to be so surprised. The church might be getting a bit leaner at the moment, but I believe God still has plans for this country and for Europe, and it's to do with revival, and it's to do with harvest, and it's to do with fruit. Hallelujah. We might need to go down lower yet, but the church is going to rise in darkness and shine as a light. Glory through all generations, through all millennia. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know pavilion means a tent? Enlarge the place of your tent. I just thought I'd tell you that. It's a large ornate tent. It needs enlarging. In the physical, this building is going to allow for tremendous growth. The facility will be one of the biggest in town. But in the spiritual, believe, imagine, and dream. Hundreds gathering on Sundays. Cells growing numerically and spiritually. Many converts becoming disciples and leaders. Gifts developing in the church of healing, of miracles, of faith. Yeah? Addictions being broken, marriages being restored, emotional hurt being healed. This is what God's calling us to. And my worry is that we're not believing. And you'll see at the end, if we're going to see this fulfilled, we need to believe. All things are possible if we believe. So I want your church to catch God's heart. I've had a good week. I have two really encouraging emails. And I'm just going to read you an extract from two of them. I haven't got permission for the first, so I won't say who it's from, although I'm sure he would give me permission. But this is his dream. They seem to be waiting for the ever-open doors to be opened on this bright Sunday afternoon. This is a rare thing to see them shut, as this church is known for welcoming in everyone from any walk of life. They are obviously getting ready for another energy session. It's hard to believe that every one of the kids stood outside has already been visited this week at their home by one of the members of the team that run this thing. Energy, new Reading generation. Can this really be the start of a new generation of kids growing with so-called old-fashioned morals and life standards? Someone better tell these people that Sunday school went out of fashion years ago. But I have a feeling this would not change or have an effect on the drive and passion behind this team of people, both young and old, living to give these kids the best chance in life as possible. Apparently, everything that they teach is Bible-based, which is shocking in this day and age, and even more so when you see the ethnic spread of children queuing up to come in. Apparently, there used to be a similar event called Lighthouse Kids Church at the Matrix nightclub. And Dan and Catherine don't shy away from the fact that that format is very similar. Why change something that worked? We learned from some fantastic people, and it was a privilege to work with them. We consider it an honor to run a similar ministry. 3 p.m. and the doors open. Big smiles and high fives from the team as they come out to meet the kids. They generally look like they are excited about spending the next hour in organized mayhem. Is there no end to what this church do for the surrounding community and town of Reading? I better hurry to make sure I get a seat. Once inside, you wouldn't believe you're in a church building. Last time I went in a church, there were pews, altars, candles, and a musty smell. This building is completely fresh, modern, fantastic light show going on, and a large countdown happening on the screen. I'm actually excited about what might happen, although obviously keeping a cool exterior as I'm a 38-year-old reporter. Whoa! Hey, somebody sent me that email. There's a lot more to it than that. I had tears. Tears streaming down my face. I thought, I've got to hold these back, but they came. Somebody's got a dream. Somebody's got a vision to reach the young people in Reading. I want to support them with everything that I've got, and I hope we do too. And then I got another one from somebody else. The school holidays are full of life too. Children come to the holiday club, and the parents seem to stay too. They go to the cafe where church people are happy to chat and or pray with them. There are also courses that run at the same time as the holiday club, mainly Alpha and parenting. They stay because they are shown love and given value as a child of God, even though they don't know him yet. Amen. The whole church is quite busy, actually. I told you so. With all sorts of children and youth activities, different courses and prayer meetings. I think there's quite a lot of prayer that happens, which is what I believe is what makes this church so successful. Prayer underpins everything they do, which is very wise, as otherwise men carry on what God started. I love watching the people leave church after the services on Sunday. They seem to leave with a glow of love and acceptance on their faces. And it goes on. Keep giving me your dreams. I don't mind crying at work. But dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. And these people are catching something in their hearts. And when you have it in your heart, you begin to believe for it. Because you begin to see it. And you work towards bringing that about. So keep dreaming. Ask God to help you dream. I need to move on. Strengthen your stakes. While we were praying on Thursday, Andrew reminded us of a prophecy Sylvia brought, a picture Sylvia brought. Now, I can't remember the detail of it, but it was about a tent, before we had a tent in mind. It was about a tent, and the wind was blowing, and I can't remember whether it was one or three of the corners were beginning to get loose. And it was like concern, we need to pray. And but it doesn't matter from the context today whether it was one or three. But I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what would these four corners be? What is this, what's the significant stakes which need to be strengthened in order to see this vision fulfilled? And I felt the Lord give me these four areas. Number one, leadership. We need strong leadership. In the past, leadership has been attacked. And it is now, directly or indirectly. G12 is a leadership vision. It's the government of 12. Satan and the world don't like leadership or authority. They try to undermine it. But godly leadership is biblical. In the home, in the church, in the workplace, and in society. Paul says in Romans, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. In all those areas again. So I believe one of these stakes is having strong, loving leadership recognized right across the church. And let's respect and honor it. Because as we honor leadership that God's put in place, we honor God too. Leadership is a gift. It's a calling. So let's not despise or react wrongly to leadership, but rather pray for our leaders. Leaders in the home. Husbands, fathers, parents, cell leaders, church leaders, the two teams of 12, Pastor Caesar and Claudia. We need to pray for leaders. There's an attack against them. So we need to pray and strengthen leadership. Next one I felt the Lord say was vision. Vision needs to be strong and clear. It's evangelistic, it's discipleship. It's loving the lost. This is our vision. It's sharing the good news. It's building strong church. It's making a difference. It's souls. It's cells. It's 12s. It's 144s. It's godly families. It's unity across Reading. It's sharing with other churches in Reading to impact this town with the love of Jesus. It's reaching out with his love to each other and to those outside of the community. Our vision, one vision which we all love and embrace. And I feel it's important. That's one of the stakes, leadership and vision. We're united in purpose and in unity and the way ahead. Number three, family, marriage and relationships. A very important, significant stake. The home is important. Pastor Caesar has said so often, what's the point in winning the world if you lose your own family? Now, logically, you think, well, that doesn't make sense. But I know that's the heart of God for our families. And the world wants both. But don't ignore the family for the sake of your ministry or for the sake of your career. Family, marriage, relationships, friendships needs to be at the foundation, needs to be a strong stake in this church. We heard yesterday talking about Cell Church in Windsor. And one of the things Pastor Lawrence Kong was saying was, yeah, people need community. And he was saying, you know, if you... And it's so true. I mean, if we reach out to somebody with drug addiction, say, they have a community of fellow strugglers around them, usually. And they feel at home and comfortable in that community. So how do you expect them to leave there and come and join church? It's a just total different, you know, my community, my safe place is out there with my drug-taking friends. And now you're bringing me here. But it's the same with youth. It's the same with old people, whoever it is, business people. You know, there's comfortable communities. So we need to create community in the church. And of course, that's where cells can come in. The right cells can begin to create that friendship, that community, that safe place for somebody who struggled before, but now he finds love and acceptance. And a new community can begin to emerge around. Relationships, key, fundamental. I think they are one of the key stakes which we need to strengthen. And lastly, out of the four, the Holy Spirit. Our pastor. Our leader, our strength, our source of life and anointing. Love is shed abroad through the Holy Spirit. He gives us the energy. He gives us the power. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. We need to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. On an individual basis, as well as together, when we come together. And I submit these four areas to you. And I wasn't sure about one of them. That's a bit arrogant, isn't it? I wasn't sure about one of them. But yesterday, when we were at the conference, Lawrence Kong, he was talking about three prerequisites which are necessary for successful church. And do you know what he said? Leadership, vision, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm comfortable with family, marriage, and relationships. I think these four stakes we need to strengthen as we go to the pavilion. As we move into this next season, God's called us to. Verse 3. You'll spread out to the right and to the left. You will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I don't know about you. When that guy came up to Jesus and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. That's how I sometimes feel. And I was thinking as I was preparing this, I thought, yeah, I can understand how Sarah, Abraham's old barren wife, would have felt when she overheard that she was going to have a baby And she laughed out of unbelief. She couldn't believe it. It was like impossible. And if we read the story from Romans, you know, we read that Abraham himself, he looked at his body and thought, well, I'm as good as dead. Yeah, how can I produce any seed to bring a child into this world? You know, I'm nearly 100. But it says, but without wavering, he put his trust in God. And I just feel that's where we are a little bit, LifeSpring. We can think of the past, we can think of what we've been through, and there's been some success. But it's not been what we wanted to see. But God's saying to us, we need to laugh out unbelief and trust him. We need to get rid of small thinking and trust him. His intention is that we burst at the seams. His intention is that we spread out to the right and to the left. Oh, I missed it out. We must deal with unbelief. We must, and this verse here talks about our descendants. And I want to say, we must invest in the future. We must invest in our youth and in our children. And part of my vision for this building which we're going to is it's a youth facility. The best in town, eventually. You know, where the youth will feel happy and cool about it. And they'll want to bring their not yet Christian friends into it. And they'll think it's pretty cool too. And us oldies will just have to adjust. Okay? We can cope with it being a bit youthy, can't we? Yes, Nev, we can, because we're investing in the next generation. You know, they're the ones which are going to carry this on. And the generation after them. So I believe we've got to invest in the next generation. This verse talks about our future descendants, future generations, increasing in numbers and influence. And I believe this is an opportunity for us to create something which they will be able to feel. This is my home. I want to bring my friends to. We'll have the music which attracts them. We'll have the lights that is needed. We'll have this, that, and the other. And the youth will come. And the youth will find Jesus. And the youth will get saved. And the next generation will begin to grow and carry on with this fantastic ministry that God's giving us. And then lastly, verse 4. And this some of us need to hear. Don't be afraid, church. You're not going to suffer shame. You know, I've got to be honest to you. We have enough money to buy this building. we need hundreds of thousands to renovate this building. And I could think, well, I don't want to just have a heap. But I'm trusting the Lord. And we're trusting the Lord together. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You're not going to be humiliated, Lifespring. You'll forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Why? For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Lord's saying, don't worry. Don't worry. Maybe individually we've struggled with stuff in the past. We have as a church corporately had some embarrassing episodes in the past. But we've come through. The Lord's brought us through. I would say to you, and he would say to us, forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. Many things which could come to mind, which could cause worry and trouble and make us fear. But forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. You know, the hurt may have been bad, but it has passed. The Lord says, don't fear. Those things have gone. Or maybe as an individual or as a family, I want to say it's time to move on. If you hang on to the past, you'll never get hold of what God's got for you for the future. In fact, as we go forward together as a body, if you don't deal with the stuff in your own personal life, you'll feel detached from vision and from the life that's happening. You'll wonder why you can't connect, because there's offense, there's stuff here, there's unforgiveness maybe, there's stuff that you need to deal with in your heart. Get rid of it. That's what the Lord's saying. Get rid of it. Come to him. He wants to take it from you so that we can go forward together. And then the verse goes on to say, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Can you see it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Just closing with this thought. Actually, Rob, if you wouldn't mind just beginning to come up and begin to tinkle and stuff. It's a promise of renewal. It's a promise of refreshing. Streams in the desert. Those hard hearts. Those barren places which we've experienced in the past. It's a promise of heaven touching earth. Of springs of life replacing the parched and dry ground. It's life springing up in the desert, in the hardness of our hearts. It's a promise of more of him, more of his presence, more of his joy, more of his life, more of his hope and his love in us, through us, changing us, that we might change our workplaces, that we might change our families, that we might change our communities. It's faith rising up. It's hopes and dreams replacing sorrow and disappointments. Now, I know some of you say, look, you've said this sort of stuff before, Nev, and I have. I know I have. But this is just another opportunity for us as a church to rise in faith and dream again. All things are possible, Jesus said, if you believe. You see, it's faith which releases the purposes of God. It's not need. If it was need, there wouldn't be any famines. There wouldn't be any poverty. There wouldn't be any bad stuff in the world. It's not need that attracts heaven. It's faith, confidence in him and in his calling and in his plans and purpose for Lifespring, for Reading and for the UK. Let's rise together. Let's believe. Where we can't see, let's ask the Lord, give me vision. Where we can't believe, ask the Lord for faith. Where there's cynicism from the past, repent of that and ask the Lord to replace it with hope again for the future. There are children on the way. It's time to believe. It's time to get ready, Lifespring. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.